Here we go.
Let's again.
What's up, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of the Neon Belly Podcast. We are your hosts, Nate,
John,
and Brandon.
And today we have a very special guest joining us. He is a Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu brown belt and competitor. He is a mixed martial artist with a professional record of 13 wins and 7 losses. He's a Coliseum Combat veteran and currently the Strike Hard Promotion lightweight champion. He is Sean Fallon.
Let's go.
Sean, what is up?
What's up, man? Guys?
What's up, man?
Oh, not much, man. We're over here. We only got about 8 hours left to go. We're making our hike over to the East Coast, and it is rainy, and we run into construction. But, you know, we're just chilling, you know?
I love it, man.
Trying to make the best of it.
Yeah, so tell everybody what you're going over there to the East Coast to do right now.
Me and my partner, Brant, from IBG, we both have matches. It's for finishers. I don't know. They have, like, a sub-only format, and we each got tough matches. So
nice.
We're just gonna go there, hang out, train, and have a good time and compete, and hopefully come away with some wins.
Yes, sir. So is competitive jiu-jitsu, is that something that, like, I mean, obviously we'll get to the MMA stuff, but is that something that's, like, you know, really important and something that you try to continue to do?
I view it as training, man. I just love it. I love all martial arts that you can compete in and not necessarily, you know, go home broken afterwards, you know, so jiu-jitsu fits that pretty well for me. You know, I just look at it as another day of training and getting to compete against a high-level guy that really only focuses on jiu-jitsu. It's a good way to test your skills, you know, but I love competing in jiu-jitsu for sure.
For sure. Do you ever, are you familiar with, like, the Who's Number One, like the Flow Grappling? Is that something that, I mean, I'm sure you're probably focused on MMA right now, but is that something you'd ever, like, try to do? Because they're kind of doing it at, like, the highest level right now.
Yeah, no, for sure. I'm a fan for sure. I would be down to take a match really anywhere, honestly, but my main focus is MMA, but I mean, I would never turn down a jiu-jitsu match.
Yeah. Awesome, nice. Dude. Well, shoot, man. Let's talk about some MMA though. So your first amateur fight was way back in 2012. So just kind of take us back then and, like, what got you into the sport and made you want to do MMA?
What got me interested was just being a fan, really. Mm. I was kind of a Pride fanboy. I was a fan of, definitely a big fan of Fedor, you know, Crow Cop, even Vanderlei in his prime. I mean, I was definitely a fan, and I just wanted to give it a try. I was playing football at the time at Buffalo State, and as soon as I was done with that, I knew I wanted to give it a try and started training. So
Buffalo State, is that like in Buffalo, in New York, Buffalo State?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh man, so, like, talk about that. Like, what position? I didn't even know you played football. So, like, what position did you play and stuff?
Man, I feel like it was a lifetime ago, but I was a defensive end, outside linebacker. I was a lot bigger then, of course, you know.
Yeah.
Not being in a weight class driven sport, but a totally different athlete, really. I mean, I feel like I wasn't much of an athlete looking back, but it, you know, specific to a sport, of course, but
yeah.
Yeah. Being a fan of Pride, would you accept a fight where they allowed soccer kicks?
You know what? Would I? Let me think. I'm sure I would. Doesn't one allow soccer kicks?
It does.
Knees to the head.
Okay.
Knees to the head. Okay.
I think that's definitely brutal, you know, and I've had my face broken a few times now in MMA without having to stomp or, like, you know, jump up and come down on someone's, you know, skull with a knee.
Yeah.
It's pretty brutal as it is, but, I mean, sure, I would do it. I actually think what Masvidal is doing with the bare knuckle MMA, I think that's really cool. I would love to do that, actually.
Yeah.
If it paid decent, I think that's a great idea.
Yeah, we were talking about that last week and feel like that it would actually improve jiu-jitsu in MMA, not having gloves on.
No, 100%. 100%. I barely even like to rap half the time unless I think it's going to be a striking, heavy matchup, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, we're really excited for that. Actually, we were just talking about it on our last episode, is, like, that first, I think the first main event is Jason Knight and Crazy Horse. And we're like, yeah, we got to find a way to buy that and watch that because that's going to be insane.
For sure, man.
Yeah.
I would pay to watch Crazy Horse just talk, probably, you know?
Yeah, right. Exactly. So are you still a pretty big fan of MMA then? Like, do you still watch and follow and stay pretty current with all the everything, all the promotions and stuff?
It's hard now, man. It's hard, not just from being busy, but from all the content out there and all the different promotions. I mean, there's solid fighters and many different promotions, as you guys know. And, man, there's just too much. But when I have free time, I'm definitely, like, on mixedmartialarts.com and seeing what's going on still and following the promotions that I like for sure. But, man, it's just hard to keep up and keeping the busy schedule and training for your own fights. And I work a part-time job and I, you know, with my buddy here, we run our jiu-jitsu program. So a lot of late nights and not a lot of time, but yeah, anytime there's a big card, of course I tune in, but
sure.
I hardly ever watch them all live anymore though. That's hard to do.
Yeah, I get it, man. Yeah. And so let's kind of talk about training. So, for people that don't know, you train in indie boxing and grappling still, correct? I'm sure that, that hasn't changed. Yeah. So man, let's just talk about that because, you know, we train at Gaha here, but even still at Gaha, like we know that IBG is one of the, if not the best, MMA gyms in Indiana. So just talk about what it's like training there every day in that environment and just kind of being in that room full of killers, man. And having, you know, Pat McPherson's your striking coach, correct? Or kind of head coach.
Yeah. He's definitely head coach. Yeah.
Yeah. So just even just getting to work with him, man, and just kind of just talk about that environment in general.
Oh man. It's awesome. I love it. It's grimy, you know, it's a rugged fight gym, you know, it's what you'd expect if you're, you know, going in and trying to get some work and not necessarily feel great about yourself every day, you know, like,
yeah,
even if you're the man in the room that day, there's going to be a way that you're just going to feel like absolute shit about yourself, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Whether it's a Shark Tank or just a bigger, stronger guy, a better wrestler, because, you know, we just have such a variety, you know. We've got a bunch of pro boxers that only box. We got wrestlers that only wrestle, jiu-jitsu guys that only do jiu-jitsu. And so we're, you know, us MMA guys, we're constantly going with the best of the best from each aspect. And I don't know, it's kind of a unique blend, I think, but I mean, I love it, man. I really do love it. It's kept me in Indiana for this long, so.
Yeah.
So you weren't always at IBG, right? You switched there when you went pro?
I think it was maybe around that time. Yeah, I started off actually at a gym in Muncie. It's called, I think it's Team Wolfpack. It was, Bubba McDaniel was like my main training partner, I guess head coach at the time. And worked with a lot of good guys like Hector Urbina and Anthony Lapsley. So those were the guys I started out with and, you know, cornered me for my first few fights. And then that gym kind of just shut down. So out of necessity, I went to another gym and was training with Brian Whitaker mostly, you know, just getting work wherever we could. A couple other gyms had, you know, come and gone, and we were just kind of, you know, together we'd, you know, train at whatever gym kind of invited us in at the moment. And I was at Fisher's BJJ and boxing for a few years and had some good work there. And we had a handful of guys that I came up with through there. And, but I was always cross training with IBG, you know, during that time. So
how much involvement does like Chris Lytle have? Because he's kind of like around there too, like at IBG, right?
Yeah, for sure. He, even though he's retired now, he's still in there at least a couple of times a week usually. And yeah, he's just always around and just a great asset for so many things, you know, just even if it's just wisdom, but he's still a beast of a training partner. I mean, that dude is just unbelievable with his grappling, in my opinion. You know, he can. I know he's known for being a banger, and he's an exciting fighter that we all love to watch. But man, his grappling is on another level. Just when you think you're getting good, that motherfucker will have something to say about it. You know?
Oh, dude, yeah, he came up. He came up a while ago and trained with us, and I got to roll with him, and it was not. It was not fun.
You'll never feel safe.
It was not. It just, everything's just so tight and just, I mean, it's just, yeah, he doesn't give you an inch, man. It was different. It was definitely a different level for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. You got to love it. I mean, and the dude was doing bare knuckle matches and, you know, just for fun, really, for shits and giggles. And
yeah.
That dude's an absolute savage. I have so much respect for Chris.
Yeah. So I wanted to ask, because a lot of your wins are by submission, and a lot of those submissions are, you know, you got some darces, some guillotines. So kind of like a two-part question, but I just want to know, is that, one, something that you kind of go into every fight looking for specifically? And two, how have you been able to kind of translate those submissions into your MMA game so well? Because like we were saying earlier, you know, sometimes, especially with gloves, I mean, we've all put MMA gloves on and done rounds and different chokes, and a lot of submissions are not easy to do.
Right. No, it can definitely make things a lot more tricky. I don't know. I think if you got a couple moves that you like, I think you just start to see them everywhere, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, and being a taller guy, I think it was just a natural progression to, you know, chase the head a little bit, because, you know, coming up in the Midwest, guys would shoot a lot. So, you know, anytime you shoot and put your head underneath someone, you know, you're potentially in danger for a front headlock choke. So,
yeah,
I don't know. They just kind of presented themselves, and I don't know. It's kind of become my go-to, but I did not start out that way. That's for sure. I was more of a triangle type of guy, but
yeah.
But yeah, and then in terms of making it happen with the gloves, are always going to be annoying, but I'll do some specific training, and, you know, aside from squeezing on necks constantly, you know, even just squeezing like a grappling dummy with the gloves on and just getting used to that, you know,
that way you're just not.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of nasty squeezing a staph infested bag, you know, people make fun of you and come in like, what is this guy doing? But, you know, it's actually paid off. And yeah, for sure.
Yeah. That's very, I've never, seen anybody do that. That's really interesting, to do that, like to practice on the dummy like that.
Yeah, man, it's good for the endurance of the squeeze, too, and just the overall power of it. I mean, I'm not the strongest guy in the world, as you can see from my build, probably, but, you know, it's something I've been trying to work on anyway, so.
Yeah. So, and you kind of mentioned it a little bit, but, you know, you said you're kind of a longer guy. How do you get down to that 155 weight division, and is that a really hard cut for you to make?
It's definitely not easy. It definitely, yeah, it sucks. It's. Yeah. I'll take 160, 165 any day that they allow it, you know, but this next one's at 160, but yeah, 155 making championship weight is, it's not easy for my frame, but I can definitely do it.
Yeah.
I'm definitely a thinner guy, but I don't know. I just feel like I'm kind of stuck in between the weight classes. Like 62 to 65 would probably be perfect, but until that happens, I guess catch weights or 55 or whatever fight makes sense, I guess. But yeah, it is. It's not fun. It's definitely a process, and it takes a lot of time and hardcore dieting and getting as low as possible, and then cutting the water from there.
What do you typically walk in? Or what do you typically walk around at?
See, that varies, but right now I'm probably walking around 178. I've gotten heavier and I've been lighter too, so. If I'm going to make 55, though, on the dot, I'd say I need to be walking at around 170, 172.
Yeah.
You know, within the last few weeks.
Yeah, you kind of answered my next question a little bit there, but I was going to ask. So, you know, obviously right now there's not like a 160, 165 official weight class, but you have done a lot of catch weights there. So in a perfect world, is that like something you'd be more ideal to have a weight class there, or would you still try to do the 55?
I would probably never do 55 again, honestly. Yeah. And I hate cutting away, you know, but like there's a lot of good fights at 55 too. There's a lot of really good fighters at 155. So I don't know. The going back and forth thing is probably not the healthiest thing, but you know, on the regional level, you know, you just kind of got to take the best offer and kind of go from there. But
yeah, for sure.
Hey, so Sean, what is your thoughts on strength and conditioning? How does that play into your game? Is it something that you put a lot of stock into? Because obviously with you having to cut so much weight, I'm curious how you kind of mitigate the strength and conditioning aspect of it.
Right. Okay. Well, our workload is pretty high at IBG, so you got to be careful supplementing the strength and conditioning, but I still do it, especially if I have, you know, advance notice for a fight. You know, at least 6 to 8 weeks, I'll definitely do some strength and conditioning. Actually, my buddy who's driving right now, he writes up my programs, and
so what kind
he actually went to school for this stuff. And he's obviously, you know, in the combat sports and a great athlete himself. So
cool. So what kind of stuff has he got you doing?
So it's definitely not going to be as gnarly as like those dudes you see in Brave that are gassed out of their minds and just whipping ropes and throwing around like 50,000 pounds. I can only, you know, bench like 400 pounds. No, I'm just kidding. Oh,
I was like, hell, you got me beat.
No, we do like a lot of plyometrics, really. Sprints. What else do we do? A lot of plyos, broad jumps, stuff like that. We modeled our first run at this after some stuff that was released by the UFCPI and just kind of stole some stuff from there and modified and tweaked it, and we've been doing that ever since.
Cool.
But do I put a lot of stock into it? I definitely put more emphasis on skill and technique, but, you know, if you ever see me getting muscled in a fight, then I can eat my words, I guess. So, and that does happen, you know, especially fighting shorter, stockier guys, you know, but... Mm-hmm. My style anyways, you know, I try to be efficient with my energy and, I don't know. I put more value on technique and skill and then the actual training, which for us, the training is really hard. Like I said, half the time we're bordering on the line of being overtrained. Mm. And, so it's just hard to do a lot of the strength and conditioning on top of that.
Yeah. You kind of said something about the, like with the weight division, you said, you know, at the regional level, you just kind of get the fights that you can take. What is the process like for a professional, but just kind of still in the regional area? Like, how do you go about getting fights? I mean, is it just like you talk to your team? Do they reach out to promoters? Do promoters reach out to you first? I mean, what's that process kind of like?
Man, so that's going to be different for everybody. I basically self-managed my career up until, well, still to this point, because, you know, ultimately you're in charge of, you know, whether or not you want to take a fight, even if you have management. But I have a representation now. I'm working with Dream Sports Management. Cool. And, but no, for the longest time, you know, I'm either on the prowl or getting offers coming in and running them by my coach and then figuring out what the best move is from there. And we're trying to fight the toughest guys, you know, that is going to get us where we want to be, which is, you know, fighting at the highest level possible. So
sweet.
So with that, is the plan just to try to find the toughest guys to get to these, you know, bigger steps and where you're ultimately trying to go, or is it being methodical and taking the right people?
I mean, I guess there's a little bit of both, right? I mean, you definitely want to get the most bang for your buck, and I don't know. I feel like you definitely need to push yourself, you know, and fight guys who are considered to be, you know, maybe they were once at that level or on their way to that level or currently at that level. Those are the guys you got to face and beat in order to get some recognition. So
yeah,
that has to be the goal. But, and you know, for a while I was kind of putting pressure on, you know, wanting to be there, because, you know, I've fought guys who've fought in Bellator or gotten their shot in the Contender Series or the Ultimate Fighter, and, you know, the little bitch in me was kind of, you know, worried about that a little too much for a while. But now I just, before that last fight I had, I was telling my coach and my teammates before, I just want to be good, you know. I just want to be good at what I do and be the best I possibly can be. And, you know, we'll see where that ends up. I don't want to be the guy who's comparing, like, oh, he made it to the UFC. He sucks. You know, I could beat him, blah, blah, blah. That,
sure.
That's kind of like a loser's mentality. And I feel like some of us get drawn into that, myself included, sometimes. But I'm trying not to think that way, you know. I'm just trying to have fun with it. I do this because I love it. There's a lot of easier ways to make money. Mm-hmm. And like I said before, you know, I've had my face broken a few times. I've taken some damage in this sport, you know.
Yeah,
so,
So Sean,
I just want to have fun with it.
Okay. So looking at sort of, I guess, your big, like those big organizations that you talked about, like at the highest level, like, you know, your ONE Championships, UFC, PFLs, those guys, is there one that like really stands out to you? Is like, if you had your pick at the litter, where you'd want to be?
Oh man, that's so tough. For the longest time, I would have said Bellator or ONE FC, but I don't know. I kind of wanted to be in the mix in the UFC, to tell you the truth. Even though, you know, they sometimes chew fighters up and spit them out, and I don't think fighter pay is necessarily what it should be, you know, at the highest level. But I still want to try my hand. I want to have a fight in the UFC for sure.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I'd like to have several, of course, but yeah, no. I mean, those are the guys I'm currently up to date on the most, and it just looks like a fun division to be a part of.
Well, that's for sure.
Yeah. So, Yeah, so you, speaking of big fights, you just had one announced July 17th at Coliseum Combat 54. You're going to face Josh Streaker. I haven't got to watch many fights, but he's 6-4, 5 knockouts, does have 2 fights in Bellator, I believe. So, yeah, what do you think of that matchup? Also trains at Jackson Winklejohn, I think. So coming out of a pretty big gym himself. So what do you think about this matchup?
I like the matchup. I think it's a good fight for sure. I think he's really tough. I think people might look at a 6-4 record if they're uneducated and say, you know, I don't know, maybe they won't think it's that great of a record. But considering who he's fought, and like he's 2-0 in Bellator, trains at a great gym, and he's had wins over really tough guys, guys that I really respect in the game. So can we admire his name for a minute, though? Josh Streaker, man. If I were him, I would just sprint to the cage naked, throw on a pair of shorts, knock some fool out, and then just sprint back out naked, dude. That would be my thing. I actually met him before. I don't know if he remembers this. This was a long time ago. It was his first pro fight. I had a fight that night. It was a pro fight as well. And we both lost, and we both ended up at a card table of some sort. It was in the casino. And he just seemed like a likable guy. I thought he was funny, you know. And I was a fan of his, even though he lost. I thought he had a good fight. And he was kind of on my radar just as, you know, a potential training partner or opponent. And
nice.
Yeah, I think he's tough. He's definitely more of a striker. I creeped on his Instagram a little bit after we booked this fight. And he's hitting pads with Mike Winklejohn looking all sweet, you know.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, so he's probably trying to take my head off with one of those looping shots. But, you know, we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. The chin's held up before, and you know, but it holds up until it doesn't. So,
love it, man.
You guys. So, okay. So, one of the other things I've noticed watching your fights is you throw quite a few leg kicks. So, I'm curious how much that's kind of has it always been part of your game? Is it something you started to develop as you went along? Because I feel like it's become more and more prominent as I watch you fight.
Okay, right on. Well, yeah, it's kind of always been a part of my game, even as an amateur. Definitely like to throw hard leg kicks. I'm trying to focus on setting it up a lot more and being more unpredictable.
Sweet.
Nice. Have these recent calf kicks in UFC made you kind of want to tweak those and try those out for yourself? Or are you like thinking of them when you're fighting now? Like you don't want to get hit with one of those and be done in the first minute of a fight?
Right. Well, dude, they're brutal. Guards on, they're brutal. We've been playing around with them quite a bit for actually quite some time. Pat's always been a big fan of calf kicks. So we throw a lot of them in the gym, and yeah, they fucking hurt. I mean, God forbid you get hit in that peroneal nerve and have foot drop. That would suck.
Yeah.
This is something I haven't admitted publicly, but I got kicked in the lower leg and actually fractured my leg, my fibula, two fights ago against... Shout out to Ruben Moore. He's retired now, so I can let that cat out of the bag. I didn't want to give him any justice before that. Fuck that guy. No, I'm kidding. Much love, Ruben.
Love it.
But yeah, I fractured my fibula, and it just shows, man. I mean, bones, you know, they heal, which is a nice thing, but, you know, it doesn't really take much to break bones, especially with my long, thin-ass body. So,
speaking of Ruben Moore, so that's the only rematch that you've had, correct?
I have to think about that one. Off a loss, I believe so, yes. Yeah.
Okay. So can you talk to me a little bit about what was it like going into that rematch, just your mindset about making adjustments and kind of going into that second fight? What was that like?
Oh, man, I mean, that was just a fight I definitely did not want to lose no matter what happened, you know? Like, I don't know. I feel like I underperformed a little bit in the first fight, but, you know, it could have been credit to him, and he was on that night as well. And I had 5 rounds to make something happen, and I didn't. So I essentially shit the bed in that first one. Okay. I don't think he really did any damage, you know, and I don't think I was really ever in any danger, but he did a good job, you know, controlling with the wrestling, and he pushed the pace more than I did. So I wanted to make sure I came out and set the tone early, you know. And
right.
Took that away from him and, you know, gave him a different look for sure.
So in a situation like that, you see some fighters struggle to recover from losses with like the mental side of fighting, where they never quite get that confidence back, or they just don't look the same. So how do you make those adjustments when you have a tough fight and you got to get back in there and act like you're still the man?
Right. Yeah, you got to have a short memory for sure. You got to, you know, on wins and losses, you can't rest on your accomplishments and you can't dwell on the past failures, you know. I mean, it's easy to do, right? We see it a lot, you know, and it's very telling of a fighter's path, you know, if they are just devastated from a loss and they're never able to bounce back. I never wanted to be that guy, and I don't want to let, you know, a loss in an athletic competition, you know, defy me and just get me down. Although it does, though, you know, it can. It can weigh on you, you know, and, you know, it just, it sucks because we put a lot into this sport. Mm-hmm. So a loss, it's going to mentally fuck with you at least a little bit. But you can't dwell on it. You just got to, you really just have to learn, as cheesy as it sounds, you know, learn from the mistakes, take the lessons, and get right back into it. Not be one of those guys who's like afraid to get back in there and, you know, what happens if I lose again? Or, you know, my girlfriend's not going to think I'm tough or whatever the fuck people think. I don't really know, you know?
Yeah.
Fighting is definitely a mind fuck at times. So,
sure.
I don't know. I think it's just about being mentally strong and figuring out what works for you.
Yeah. Well, Sean, we appreciate your time today, man. Before we let you go, do you mind? We're just going to hit you with some like really quick rapid fires. Some of them are fighting, pertain to fighting. Some of them don't. And then we'll just let you go. Is that cool?
Let's do it. All right.
Here we go. Mortal Kombat, Street Fighter, go.
Oh, Street Fighter.
Binge on Netflix or party with friends, go.
Oh, shit. You could do both. You do both at the same time.
Thin crust or deep dish, go.
Thin crust.
Kimura traps or knee shield, go.
Knee shield.
What's a celebrity you'd like to box?
Jake Paul, baby. Let's go.
Let's do it.
Let's go. I'm trying to get paid. Tyrants, take this L. Let a lesser known person come in, make a couple million. I promise I'll do good with it.
This one's a little bit more close to your current situation, but would you rather take long road trips or have multiple connecting flights?
Ooh. You know what? As much as I'm complaining about this trip right now, it's nice having everything with you. And like, yeah, I'll go long road trips.
Nice. Do you have a hidden talent?
Football? Sorry, I almost went somewhere.
Football, maybe.
I can play a few instruments.
Oh, ooh, what do you play? Nice.
And I can repulse women like you wouldn't believe.
Who is your dream MMA opponent? Retired, active. If you could have one huge fight, who would it be?
Shoot. All right. I have two, actually.
Go for it.
And people can laugh all they want, but dude, why not fight Khabib, you know? Why not try?
Oh, yeah.
Give him the L. And
there it is.
Another one, a bucket list would be like a Justin Gaethje type of fight.
Ooh, and just,
you know, just banging it out and seeing what the fuck happens. I don't always fight that way, but that'd be like a bucket list fight for me for sure.
Nice. What would be your death row last meal?
Ooh. Well, if I'm going to die, it's definitely not going to be healthy, although I do enjoy healthy food. Dude, we'll probably go pizza, lasagna. Shoot, what else? We're going to have dessert, too.
Carbicide,
we're
gonna baby.
We're going to go cheesecake. We're just going to,
Let's go.
We're going to go all the way with it.
Nice. And last one, if you could choose anyone to play you in a movie about your life, who would it be?
Oh, man. Bradley Cooper.
Yeah.
Okay. That's nice. I like it. Well, Sean, man, once again, we do appreciate it. Is there any way to watch? Is like if people want to watch your grappling match, are they streaming it anywhere or anything like that?
Finishers is streaming it on their Instagram page. Do you know exactly what that's called, Brent? Okay. Oh, never mind. It's on their YouTube. Finishers okay. MMA.
Is that Friday night?
Saturday night. We're going to weigh in on Friday. And and then Brant Bosseron is also on the card. He's got a tough match.
Nice.
And keep an eye out for him. He's killing stuff in the submission grappling world. And
nice.
Just an all-around savage. He trains with us in all the different martial arts. So
sweet.
Nice. Well, best of luck to both of you for sure.
Yeah. And then
thank you, man.
Yeah. And then as far as tickets go for the fight, do you have tickets? How are they going to do this one? Or is it all online tickets? Or has Uncle Mark told you?
I think online. Yeah, online. So if you want to purchase tickets to Coliseum Combat 54, buy them online. In the buyer's notes if you want to give me credit. If not, go fuck yourself.
We will definitely be there for that.
Yeah.
One.
Oh yeah, we're excited, man. Awesome, it's our first live event since the whole like pandemic and stuff. So we're pumped to get out and see some fights. And then social media. Last thing, if people want to follow you or anything like that.
All right, Instagram is at Sean Connor Fallon, just how my name is spelled. And then I got a Facebook page. I'm trying to do a little bit better. I can be an antisocial dude sometimes, trying to be better about posting and keeping people up to date. But
yeah. Nice, man. Yeah. Is there anything else you want to say to the people before we let you go?
I love you all. I love you all. And yeah, you guys rock, man. You guys rock. I love your podcast. Thanks, looks like, man. You guys are doing well, and I hope you guys take off.
Thanks, man. We appreciate it. We appreciate your time, and we will let you go, man.
Right on, man. You guys have a great one.
Later. Good luck to you and your teammate, too. Yep.
Thanks, man. You guys have a good one.
Yep.
All right, later.
Sean Fallon, man. Awesome interview. What a guy.
Matt Talk. Another successful Matt Talk in the books.
Yeah, that was awesome. And thanks to Jacob Herlock as well, our coach, for getting us in contact with him. And that was awesome.
Yeah, if you like what you hear, come see him fight. If you don't like what you hear, come see him fight.
Yeah,
you
know, July 17th, Kokomo, Indiana.
And you can stream him. So if you're not here, chillo.
Watch it online on the stream. And you can give him credit for it too with the stream. So, boys, before we get out of here, anything from anybody? Do we want to? He said Jake Paul, the title. Yeah. So you said, before we, we recorded Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And then so. Did we record Sunday?
No, we recorded Monday.
We recorded Monday, and then Monday night, like literally after we had finished the Jake Paul Woodley match, got announced. So what do you guys think about that? Jake Paul versus Tyron Woodley.
It's the, when you see fighters come up or you see anybody like go on a run, you're waiting for like the, this is the one that proves
it. Yeah.
So I think this is, you want to say this is it. Like if he does, if he does to Tyron Woodley what he's done to everybody else,
it's going
to
be interesting.
You have to put a badge on it. But I also think this is a very dangerous, because you got a Woodley who's, recently got cut. He wants to, prove himself. He wants to put this to bed.
Sure.
And he's getting big money, so.
And he's an underdog.
Yeah. It's crazy, dude. Every gambling website he opened as an underdog.
Did you see that Logan Paul has better odds than Connor did against Mayweather?
No.
He's a plus.
Probably just because of his size. People are like, if he hits him.
He's a plus 650. He's a plus 950 or 650. And
jeez, that's still crazy.
One of those. But he's like $300 or 300 points, I guess.
Yeah.
A better shot at beating Floyd than Connor did.
Wow. Dude, that's still crazy. Who you guys got this weekend? Logan or Floyd?
Floyd for sure.
No, just kidding.
I don't even want to bet.
Dude, is it weird that like I'm literally in my head, I literally have to go back and forth if I really want to buy that or not. Like the Logan Askren one or Jake Askren, I knew I was going to get it.
Yeah.
But this one is just kind of like, I'll definitely get the Jake Woodley one.
Oh, yeah.
Because that one will be at least kind of more of a fight. Did you see what Dana said today?
Mm-mm.
He basically said that like Woodley's not the fighter that he used to be type thing.
So he's not going to bet $1 million on him, but he would for Ben Askren.
Yeah. He still said he thinks he'll knock him out. But he's like, hey, he's not the guy he was 4 years ago.
So, I guess he wouldn't say that to his face though.
No, he never would. Brandino, before we get out of here, do you have anything to say to the people?
I got nothing. I can't think of anything. Have a good day, guys. I hope you enjoy the interview.
Yeah. All right.
You're welcome.
John Dino, do you have anything to say?
If I had to say anything, it'd probably be buckle up because the summer's about to get hot. Neon Belly's about to get hot, too.
Hot boy summer, baby. Well, we're going to get out of here. Once again, huge, huge, massive thank you to Sean Fallon.
Yes, sir.
Good luck to him and his teammate Brandon this weekend. We'll try to tune in and watch that, but we will be there July 17th at Coliseum Combat for the fights. You better be there, too. Bet it. Let's go.
Yes, peace. Sir. I love you.